Today on Real Life Radio.
God will go out of his way to get to you an opportunity that you might be able to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not inviting you, if you're visiting today, I'm not inviting you to join this church or to embrace religion. That's the last thing you need. I want you to consider Christ, to consider Jesus. You can forget about everything else.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Before we get into today's message, I want to tell you about Just Church. It's a 100% free event on Friday, September 8th at the Honda Center in Anaheim. We'll gather as a large community of believers to just worship and to just study God's Word. You're not even going to have to pay for parking. Register now at justchurchsocal.com. That's justchurchsocal.com. And now, let's get into the message. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continuing in his Gospel of Luke series with a message titled, Little Man, Big Sin, Bigger Faith. This Gospel of Luke series is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus, as really only Luke the physician could do. Here now, as we begin chapter 19, we'll consider Zacchaeus, who was short in height but very tall in stature. You see, Jesus, now passing through Jericho, has a divine appointment with Zacchaeus. Jesus tells Zacchaeus that he wants to stay at his house that day. Overjoyed, Zacchaeus repented on the spot, and Jesus restored not only Zacchaeus, but his entire household. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that even today, the Lord creates opportunities to meet with him. But do we fall short, and do we have a strong enough desire to pursue him? Now, with his message called Little Man, Big Sin, Bigger Faith, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
The title of the message this morning is confusing. That's not the message, but here it is. I didn't know what to name it today because I had a lot of fun with the title. This is all about Zacchaeus. You know Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And when the Lord came passing by, he said, what? How's it go? He said what? He looked up in the tree and said, Zacchaeus, you come down from there, for I'm going to your house today. Let's all take it from the top. I had to, that's just locked in my head because Lisa said, aren't you teaching on Zacchaeus? And I said, yes. I was not raised in a church. She was. And as soon as I said, yeah, it's about Zacchaeus, she goes off, Zacchaeus, where the wheel? And so we started talking about it. And then yesterday, we have a huge, it's over 45 feet tall sycamore tree in our backyard. We have a big backyard in Chino Hills. We bought our home forever ago when they actually made homes with backyards. Remember that? We bought our home for $99,000 in 1986. I don't see people are complaining about what the market does. I could care less what the market does. But there was nothing in the backyard. Whoever owned the home, they had lost it to the bank. That's how we got it so cheap. Nobody was living in it. It was abandoned. And the backyard, when we looked at the house, it was completely gravel backyard with literally a thousand or more little pots, you know, plastic pots. And we said, well, that's strange. What is that all about? And then while we were in the middle of escrow and all that stuff, about 1,000 marijuana plants began to grow. And this is interesting. So come to find out, the guy who had the house was a drug grower, and that's how he lost the house, but that's how we got the house. And so, yes, now don't misquote me. My pastor has a pot house. Our house has been redeemed. It was once a pot house, and now it has grass in the backyard. And the first tree that we, oh my gosh, shame on you, shame. It has St. Augustine lawn in the back, and the first tree that my children planted was a sycamore tree that they stood there. We have pictures of them. Ashley's still in her diapers. Rebecca's standing there with her little gloves on, standing next to the tree. We have pictures of it. And guess what they named the tree? Zacchaeus. And the name of that tree is Zacchaeus to this day. And it is huge. And I tried to climb it yesterday, but I wasn't feeling all that well to climb it. But it is a huge tree. I'll show it to you later in the message. I took pictures of it to show you the kind of tree Zacchaeus had climbed. But we're still talking about the title of the message. And here's the reason why. It's either Zacchaeus this way, little man, big sin, bigger faith. Or, I like this one better, too short, too bad, today. Because today he was given the call to come to Christ. Too bad, he was a very bad sinner. They had judged him as so. He was a tax collector and Israel hated him for that. And obviously he was too short. He couldn't see anything that was going on. Jesus was coming by. And so we'll read about that now. Luke chapter 19, beginning at verse 1. It says, then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief, or actually the chief tax collector. And he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but he could not because the crowd, for he was of short stature, or a wee little man. And so he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to be passing by that way, Jesus was. And verse 5 says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him and said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must, I love that, I must stay at your house. And so he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they complained, murmured, gossiped, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. This word means a notorious sinner. And then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by falsehood or accusation, I restore fourfold. Verse 9. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house. Listen, here's the reason why. It's not because he gave his stuff away. Here's the reason. Because he also is a son of Abraham. That's why. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. If you're painting a picture in your mind, and I need you to do that, first of all, know this. Jericho is one of the oldest inhabited cities in the world today. We've been to Jericho before. One of the things that just overwhelm you is the amount of crops. When you pull over to any part of the roadside vendors, the grapefruit, the bananas, the guava, the papaya, oranges, it's over the top amazing. And then if that wasn't enough, the nuts, walnuts, pistachios, everything that you can imagine. The Jordan River Valley is extremely fertile, extremely beautiful, and Jericho is a gem, even though right now it is part of the West Bank. Its standard of living is pretty pathetic, but the palm trees, many of the palm trees are still there. For those of you who have been to the Palm Desert, Rancho Mirage area, if you take the 10 freeway east to the 111, and if you take the 111 towards Palm Springs, you go through Palm Springs, and then the 111 will kind of rise up, and it will ascend in elevation, and then you'll get to a crest somewhere around Palm Desert area along that. And then you'll see below you an absolute oasis of palm trees. A lot of people don't see the palm tree, the vastness of it in Palm Springs area, because there's so many of them. It's a sea of green and of dates. Jericho is named the City of Palms. It was also nicknamed the City of Roses. The roses that grow there were incredible. And then if that wasn't enough, the smell of balsam, they have tremendous balsam trees throughout the region, and the smell of balsam would permeate the air. Jericho's a gem of a place. And that's where this story is taking place. If you know your geography, Jesus now is heading away from the kingdom of Jordan today, would be to his back. Jericho would be on his right, and he's going up through the Judean wilderness. He's going up to Jerusalem. So he's heading west. And there's a big entourage. We looked at that last week together. Huge crowd of people. It's Passover season. Josephus, an eyewitness, says that Jerusalem annually would swell to 2.5 to 3 million people coming from three major roadways. Do you remember what they were? Coming out of Europe and out of the area of what would be the former Soviet Union. They would be coming through south on the Via Maris, by way of the sea, towards Jerusalem. They would also be coming from the area of Africa, North Africa, and Egypt, coming up through the Sinai, up into Jerusalem, along the Mediterranean. Or they would be coming from the Far East, and they would have to come right through Jericho. Why is that important? Because there were three key customs gates in all of Israel that handled these passersby. You had to pay money every time you went by. You not only had to pay money as you passed by through the gate, you had to pay money whenever you traveled in and out of town. You were taxed by the Roman Empire. You were taxed on how much you produced. You were taxed on how many trees you had on your property. You were taxed on everything. Sound familiar? By the way, there's two people in the world. If you go to New York City, keep this in mind. If you go to New York City, you could get robbed by somebody who carries a weapon. I guess that's true about any city, isn't it? So if someone's going to rob you, they're either a thief with a weapon. There's only one other person on all of the planet in the history of the world who can rob you other than a thief with a weapon. Anybody know who that is? You're too smart. It's the government. It's called taxes. They'll tax you. One guy comes up and says, "Give me all your money," with a gun, and the other guy comes up or sends you a piece of paper and says, "Give me all your money." Now, I don't know how you view that, but that's just the truth about it. What you have can be taken from taxes. Israel resented that. And because their taxes were being extracted to fuel the Roman machine as Rome occupied Israel, okay? Keeping that in mind, you've got this entourage, you've got a sycamore tree, you've got Jesus, you've got a whole lot of people trying to see him, and you've got a guy who, if I was casting this in a movie, I would hire Danny DeVito. Danny DeVito, I was speaking in London and I saw Danny DeVito, and have you ever seen him in person? Danny DeVito has got to be about 4'11". He is so cool to look at. I feel so tall. He's just a little guy. He's just kind of a cute little thing. And he can't see. He's rich. He's the tax collector. He's no doubt got a palatial home. He's got everything that you could possibly want. But listen, he's Jewish. We know this by his name because his name means innocent or not guilty. When he came out of his mama, she looked at him, and that's how the Hebrews are. They usually wait for a week or two, sometimes a month, to name their kid based upon their actions. Did you know that? It's kind of cool. You know, we name our kids before we even have a kid. When I have a baby, I'm going to name him Fred. Hey, that's great. But in Israel, they kind of study the kid, and then they say, you know what? We're going to name him innocent. Doesn't he look innocent? Can you imagine holding up this baby in a diaper with a cigar looking just like Danny DeVito, you know? We're going to name him innocent. That's what Zacchaeus means. No doubt he started out as a cute, cool little guy, but perhaps greed drove him to be a turncoat, we would say, against his own people.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
So here's point number one in our study this morning. Mark it down if you would. Point number one goes to verses 1 to 3, and it's this: little man, big sin, big faith or bigger faith. How about this? Are you too short to see Jesus? I want you to jot that down. You say, I thought we're talking about Zacchaeus. Yeah, I know, but we're going to use Zacchaeus to talk about ourselves. Are you too short to see Jesus? You say, what does that mean? Well, in life, things go on regarding life that we can see things that are happening and write them off to other situations. We can look around at, for example, the global crisis and begin to panic thinking that God has fallen asleep and fell off his throne somewhere, that somehow he doesn't care. No, quite the contrary. God knows exactly what's going on. But you see, it depends on your stature. How tall are you? Can you see Jesus in your life? So the question is this. I'm going to want you to write it down. Are you too short to see Jesus? Now, by nature of this message, there's going to be an invitation for you to receive Christ today. You can't get away from it. Verse 1, we learn this. What if the Lord is creating or creates an opportunity? You might say today, I don't know if I know God, Pastor Jack. If I were to die today, I don't know if I would see God and it would be good with me. Well, then listen carefully. This is very encouraging for you. What if the Lord is creating in your life opportunities for you to get to know him? It says in verse 1 that Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. He's coming from the Galilee down to Jerusalem. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't go from Galilee to Jerusalem down the eastern side of the Jordan River Valley. That's way out of the way. You would just drive direct. Why didn't Jesus just take his donkey direct? Because he had an appointment. Remember last week's appointment with the blind Bartimaeus? Today he's got an appointment with Zacchaeus. God will go out of his way to get to you an opportunity that you might be able to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not inviting you, if you're visiting today, I'm not inviting you to join this church or to embrace religion. That's the last thing you need. I want you to consider Christ, to consider Jesus. You can forget about everything else. It's Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's Jesus that brought us here. And it's Jesus who cared enough in each and every one of our lives to use opportunities, we call them situations, sometimes dilemmas, to get us to see him. But the Bible says in Romans 11:34, for who has known the mind of the Lord? The Bible says that God's mind is beyond our mind, that God's ways are beyond our ways. When he creates opportunities, God is fully intending it to be an encounter with him. All the stuff that we're going through in life, God wants you to find him in it. Why do some things, listen, why do some things go from bad to worse? It's not that God's mean. It's not that God doesn't care. It's that sometimes, and all of us men know this, sometimes it takes a lot to get our arm to get bent to our backs before we give up. It's all about our will. And we fabricate these things about God. We accuse God of this or that. We get angry about Jesus and how come this? And if God is God, then why about that? And you Christians this? And how come that? Why is there war? And why do people, oh my goodness, on and on it goes. Listen, if you read the Bible, the answer is there. It's very clear. Yes, we live in a dangerous world. God warned that the world would go this way if Adam and Eve rejected him. That death would come. God is the giver of life, but he creates opportunities. And so what if in our life he's creating opportunities. God encounters, I'd like to call them. They happen in our lives and they come in all kinds of packages. And if we're not careful, we'll misread them. I have met people who have come to know Jesus and whose lives have been dramatically changed by these events that I've written down by virtue of having met with people. The death of a child, a job promotion, in the theater of war. People come to Christ at kitchen tables and conversations. But no matter what the situation is, God who loves you is quietly, sometimes not so quietly, working to get your attention. He wants you to know him. Verse 2, we learn this. Are we sometimes thinking that we're too short to see Jesus? Well, what if the Lord knows everything? Zacchaeus is going to encounter Jesus. Little does Zacchaeus know that Jesus knows everything. This is God in human flesh walking by. How cool is that? Verse 2 says, now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was the chief tax collector. I'll simply say this, he was hated. And I'll give you this verse. He was hated by the Jewish people, but listen to this. In Psalm 139:3 says, you discern my going out and my lying down, and you are familiar with all my ways. You ought to jot that down. That's a great verse. That's a great verse to give to your kid when they're going to be taking the car out for the first time. Amen. Huh? Remember, son, the Lord is familiar with all your ways. You're coming in and you're going out. He knows that about us. Everything. What you're thinking right now, what you thought a moment ago, what you're going to think in 10 minutes, where you've been, where you're going, he knows it all. You say, Jack, wait. If God knows, if I'm not a Christian today, and God knows where I've been and where I'm going, then why doesn't he step in, show his face through a cloud or something, and convince me that way, and then maybe I'll be a believer? Well, he can do anything he wants, but he's not going to do that. Probably not. The other thing is, well, if God knows all that, then why doesn't he keep me from doing all the bad stuff and all the silly stuff and so that I'll do all the good stuff? He's desiring to do that in your life on his terms. And this is where you and I begin to butt heads with God. He is God, and he knows what's best. Do you trust him enough to let him be God like that? He's good. Third consideration under this point, number one, point one is, are you too short to see Jesus? Well, what if the Lord sees you in the crowd? And you know, that's true. See, Jack, there's thousands of people here. How can he see me? Oh, he not only sees you, the Bible says that he knows the very numbers of hair that's on your head. He knows. And Zacchaeus, verse 3 says, sought. Can you circle the word sought, Bible students? Circle that word, sought. Zacchaeus sought to see who Jesus was. The word in Greek means that Jesus wasn't unknown to him. He was trying to put a face to the fame. You with me? Watch this. But could not because of the crowd, for he was short of stature. He's a little guy. He tried to see Jesus. It's actually kind of comical. This little Danny DeVito guy is trying to get in to see Jesus, and all he's getting is elbows. And plus, the people hate him. They despise him. So can you imagine? Oh, Zacchaeus, was that your foot? Oh, is that your head? I'm sorry. Can you imagine? He's had enough of it. It's not that he's upset at anybody. Doesn't say, we don't know. This we know. That word sought, mark it down in your mind because it's going to appear again in verse 10. It's very unique. And I'm going to give it to you for free. I read 30 Bible scholars yesterday regarding this, and not one of them pointed this out, not one of them caught it. So I'll save you some money right now in buying books. This word sought is the same word that's going to appear in verse 10, and it's absolutely remarkable. Here's what it means. It means to desire strongly after someone or something. It means to endeavor. It means you're not going to be stopped until you see it or see him or them. It means to go after them with all pursuit. I don't know if you and I have ever seen such a thing. With such determination, passion, I am not going to be deterred. Now, this is cool. Church, are you with me, anybody? Zacchaeus is rich. He's a man of prominence, okay? He's a man of power. In that culture, people of that status, they do not run, and they do not... They never act in haste. Even if they wanted to, they're not supposed to. They're supposed to send a message in that culture that's still true today. You will never see a prominent, rich, or elderly man in the Middle East running. If they're running, you better run with them because there's probably something going to blow up. You don't do that. He is seeking to see Jesus. And listen, this next part I'm going to make up. It's not in the Bible, so I give you fair warning. My question is why? Why would he leave his palace? Why would he leave the safety of his home and come around all these people who can't stand him? Because Jesus is passing by. Why? Well, I can come to some possible conclusions as to why he wants to see Jesus so much. I'll give you two. Number one is this. In Matthew 11:19, the Bible says that Jesus was accused of, everyone listen, this is encouraging, Jesus was accused of being a friend of common people and tax collectors. Now, most of us are common people. Maybe you're here today. You're an IRS agent, tax collector. Jesus hung out. Common people and tax collectors, it said, gravitated towards Jesus. I find that encouraging. Could it be, he thinks in his mind, I remember hearing about a man who's one of his disciples. His name was Matthew Levi. Matthew was at a tax gate custom seat when Jesus passed by and said, come and follow me. And it says that Matthew, being the tax collector, left everything that was there and came and followed Christ. Could it be that Zacchaeus had remembered one of his followers of this wonderful man was also a tax collector? Could there be hope for me?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Little Man, Big Sin, Bigger Faith. Thanks for being here today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Haven't we all heard the phrase, slow and steady wins the race? But could that also be true when it comes to daily living? In Praise of Plodders by Warren Wiersbe is our current featured resource, and it's not only thought-provoking, it celebrates the value of careful planning. Wiersbe says that plotting and intentional decision-making are crucial for achieving meaningful outcomes. In Praise of Plodders by Warren Wiersbe is yours today for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.